The Columbia Workshop. One day last June, the streets of Washington resounded to the marching of thousands of young feet, thousands of sturdy, bright-eyed boys from all over America, from overseas, from the ends of the earth, were marching together for friendship, marching for peace. The Columbia Workshop salutes the Boy Scouts of America. Tonight, the Columbia Workshop presents Be Prepared, a program dedicated to the Boy Scouts of America, who this week are celebrating their 28th anniversary. The high idealism and the pioneering spirit of this great organization have been of immeasurable value in molding the minds and characters of young men throughout the nation and throughout the world. Be Prepared is an experiment designed to portray the intangible qualities represented in the spirit of the movement. Material has been selected and is to be presented with a view to encompassing not merely the development of the Boy Scout organization, but its significance as a source of perpetual progress. The various devices employed in this program should, in creating rapidity of movement, leave a series of impressions with our listeners. We want to know whether these impressions have given you a better understanding of the subject we are treating tonight. Your comments, criticism, and suggestions will be extremely helpful in measuring the degree of our success.
The story of scouting begins in South Africa towards the end of the 19th century. A small troop of men under Sir Robert Baden Powell were policing the native frontier. Some of the natives grew openly hostile, and Sir Robert's only chance for safety lay in gaining the friendship of other natives with trade agreements. Two men were sent with the agreement, and as the scene opens, we find them lying tattered and exhausted in a clearing in the bush.
Leave me here for a while, Tom. I'll be all right.
Why do you keep on saying that? You know I can't go and leave you here alone.
Why not? My leg's all right. Look, I think the swelling's gone down a bit.
Well, maybe it has, Waters. We've got to watch it.
A thorn scrape.
It's nothing. You can't be sure of that. Have you got any pain?
No. It's numb.
Good. I'm going to carry you to the Swahili settlement.
No, never mind me. Get that piper to him. Do you want him to join their pals against us?
Drums getting louder.
Getting restless. Go on, Tom. Come back for me.
Don't be such a blooming hero.
Listen to me. You've got it.
Ah, shut up. Catch hold of me arm. I'm going to lift you.
Uh-huh.
I've got it. Hang on now. We'll get you to a doctor of some sort, and we'll get that agreement to the Swahili. That's it. That's it.
Where can those two men be? They should have been back in the camp long before this.
Bad country, Sir Robert. They'll get through if it's possible.
Whom did you send?
Waters and Tom Cripps.
Do they know the veldt?
They said they did, but they volunteered.
I don't like it. Marsh, they're new recruits. We should have sent a native guide with them.
But there weren't any.
What about Banto and Lubuga?
And deserted, the last to go.
We're in a pretty pickle. Listen to them, Marsh. They mean business.
Nothing to worry about, sir. The usual native tea party.
Oh, no, not this time. The drums have a different beat. They're getting ready to attack.
Do we stand our ground?
There's nothing to gain. Retreat over the mountain.
The men aren't fit, sir. Fever's got most of them.
I know, but we're helpless. We can't fight when we're outnumbered 1,000 to 1. The Swahilis were the only chance. They won't give a hang for us without trade favors.
I'll muster the men.
Wait a minute. Isn't that Tom Cripps coming in?
You're right, sir. Tom! Tom!
Let's hope he got through.
I got there, sir. Here's the chief thing as a token of friendship.
They'll stand with us?
Every man of them, sir.
By thunder, that's good news. They'll make a solid block along the river. You're a good man, Tom. You get special mention for this. And Waters, too.
Where is he?
I left him in the Swahili settlement, sir.
Why?
Scratched his leg in the brush. Become infected.
You treated it?
No, sir. He wouldn't let me. There was no time. It was nothing at first.
And now?
He died, sir.
I see. I'm sorry, Tom.
Yes, sir. The Swahilis will bring him to the camp in 2 days.
We'll send a party to meet them. Now you get some sleep, Tom.
Yes, sir.
Waters was a good man, sir.
Yes, Marsh. It shouldn't have happened.
He knew what little things lead to in this country. He should have watched it.
Things like that are taking our strength from us, Marsh. Bad food, scanty medical supplies, untrained men. We must make them realize in England that the South African bush isn't an Aldershot parade ground. Men out here must know first aid, woodcraft, how to shift in an emergency. Good scouting, that's the background of our South African campaign. Men have to be taught that. And, Marsh, I'm going to be one of the teachers.
In 1883, Sir Robert Baden-Powell wrote his first book, Stunts in Scouting. It grew out of the need of soldiers in unfamiliar countries. But when he returned to England, Baden-Powell received support from an unexpected source. One day in his library.
Here, have some more of his stuff. I got it in Johannesburg. The Dutch trinket, you know.
Thank you, Sir Robert. Well, what do you think?
Frankly, Mr. Brill, the plan amazes me. I wrote the book for men, not for boys.
Your boys will soon be your men.
I realize that, but the training's arduous.
No, it's fun. We got a group together and took them for a ramble through the woods. We laid trails, watched signs. You should have seen our enthusiasm.
Well, now that you mention it, I can see several ways of modifying scouting for boys.
Of course, Sir Robert. The plan has tremendous scope. All the teachers in England will work with you. We feel that you're the man to start an active scouting movement in England. Shall I tell my colleagues we can begin?
Won't you give me time to think it over?
Yes, of course. But we're not going to let you get away from us.
Baden-Powell didn't get away. Instead, he entered heart and soul into the work. In 1907, he set up the first English Boy Scout encampment. The public applauded the movement, but the army was hostile. In a London club.
There you are. Carry him off the cushion.
No, not a bad shot. By the way, coming down the train this morning, I saw one of those, Boy Scout encampments. This fellow Baden-Powell had them parading around like a lot of bushmen.
I say good luck to him, Major. It's a splendid idea.
What? You mean to say you approve of these little savages, Poxby?
Yes, by thunder. Get them outdoors. But do you know what the man is trying to do, Poxby? Turn the boys of England into a lot of squirrels.
Yes, and woodchoppers. They sleep in tents too, as a matter of fact. What kind of training is that for a boy?
The finest. They learn discipline and self-reliance.
Discipline? Rubbish. Chasing all over the countryside, studying titwillows. Discipline.
What would you do, Major?
Why, drill them. Make them form fours, dress for the right, shoulder a rifle, and come to hear when spoken to. That's the way you train boys.
Exactly. The way the army was built. It'll still be the way. But this isn't an army.
Then what is it?
I don't know exactly. It's only beginning. But those young chaps will be glad of their scouting someday.
Glad? We'll have this fellow Baden-Powell court-martialed if he doesn't watch himself. He's a disgrace to the army. Hang it, miscue.
But Baden-Powell's scouts grew to such numbers that hostility became nothing more than a muttering from army diehards. The Boy Scout badge became a symbol of good breeding and helpfulness. One night, in the London Sea Super, Mr. William D. Boyce, the Chicago publisher, was groping his way along the Strand.
Look out! You don't have to walk in the roadway, do you? Blasted fog ain't bad enough. Blocks is sort of confused.
Sorry. Thought I was on the sidewalk. Yeah, looks as though I'll end up down a manhole or something.
Oh, come.
Oh, I'm sorry, young fellow. This English climate's...
Well, that's all right, sir. We can't help bumping into people in a fog like this.
Well, those are the first civil words I've heard tonight. What's your name, sonny?
Henry, sir.
Well, maybe you can help me out, Henry. I'm looking for 27 Savoy Hill. I've been walking for a couple of weeks, I think. Am I still in London?
Yes, indeed, sir. Savoy Hill is the second turning off the Strand, sir. I'll take you there.
Well, I'd certainly appreciate it. I was wondering whether I'd have to spend the night strolling around.
I'm glad to be of service to you, sir.
Well, that's an natty looking outfit you've got on. What are you, the King's Guard?
No, sir. I'm a scout.
A scout? What's that?
Haven't you ever heard of Baden Powell's scouts, sir?
I'm afraid not.
Perhaps I could tell you a little more about them.
Certainly, but I'd like to make my call first. Is this 27?
Yes, sir. This house on the corner.
Well, thank you very much, sonny. Yeah. There's a shilling for you.
I'm a scout, sir. Scout doesn't accept tips for curtsies and good turns.
What's that?
A scout does not accept money for doing good turns.
Don't say. Must be quite an organization you're with.
Let me wait outside for you, sir. When you come out, I'll tell you all about it.
Nothing of the kind. You come in with me. I won't be long.
You really want me to, sir?
You bet I do. I use about 30,000 boys to sell my magazines in America. If all scouts act the way you do, might not be a bad idea to make scouts of them.
In the Gilwell Training Center near London stands the bronze buffalo on which is inscribed,
"To the unknown scout, whose faithfulness in the performance of the daily good turn brought the scout movement to the United States of America."
In 1910, Mr. Boyce incorporated the Boy Scout idea under the name Boy Scouts of America. Soon, the broad-brimmed hats and khaki shirts began to appear on the streets of American cities. But in those days, wearing the scout outfit was not a job for a weakling.
Well,
in New York, the typical scene.
Hey,
thank you, two cents.
Hey, how many times have I got to tell you that's a phony penny, Spike?
Who said so?
I did. Take it out of the game.
I will not.
Oh, you won't. Well, I'll fuck you one way.
Hey, fellas, get a load of this coming down the street.
Give me my money.
Try and get it.
Hey, look at him, fellas. Just take one look.
Well, for the love of Mike, what is it?
He's a scout. I seen a couple of them around.
Hey, you.
You speaking to me?
No, I'm talking to that lamppost over there.
What do you want?
Hey, what kind of clothes do you get on?
Hey, where do you get that hat?
Take your hands off. This is a scout uniform.
Scout uniform, huh? Well, what do you know about that? Hey, it's real pretty. Oh, wait a minute. The knot around your neck's too loose. I'll tighten it fast. Oh.
I bet that's a trick they didn't teach him, eh, Red?
So you better leave me alone.
So you say it ain't tight enough, huh? Wait, I'll fix it again. Oh. You want to fight, huh? Okay, come on.
Give it to him, Red.
Sock him, Red.
Oh, fight!
Sock him, sock him. Oh. There. That'll teach you.
Look. He knocked Red down.
Gee. Have you had enough?
Okay.
Say, Scott. You're a pretty good fighter.
Me? No. You should see some of the other fellows in the troop.
Do they teach you to fight like that?
They teach you to box. I'd like to learn that. Why don't you join? They teach you a lot of other things, too.
Yeah, what?
How to read the stars and study trails and all about animals.
Ah, that guy's back. How can they learn you stuff like that in a city?
We go on hikes in the country. Say, you're cut pretty badly. I'm sorry for what I did to you.
Ah, forget it.
You're pretty good at fighting. Why don't you join?
Me? Nothing doing.
And look at this scout knife.
Gee, hey, that's a beaut. Look at all those blades. So where'd you get it?
Every scout has one.
Then I'm going to join.
Me too, Larry. I'd like to learn something about the stars and things.
Ah, you bunch of sissies. Why don't you join a knitting club?
Oh, this is different, Red.
Hey, look at the knife they give you. Why don't you join, Red? Boy, I bet you'd be head of the gang in no time.
Well, maybe I would. But I'd rather have my own gang.
Come on, Red. Why don't you join?
I told you I don't want to.
Okay, if that's the way you feel about it. But pretty soon you're going to find yourself without any gang to lead.
Very soon, the scout uniform became as well known in the streets of America as in England. Everywhere, the movement received the endorsement of educators and prominent people. And then came a message from President Taft in the White House.
The President directs me to say that he will accept the honorary presidency of the National Council of Boy Scouts of America, and thus sustain a similar relation to the movement in the United States as does King George to a similar movement in England and Lord Grey in Canada.
At no time in all the world's history had boys such an opportunity to help their country as during the World War. 300,000 disciplined Boy Scouts were at President Wilson's service, and soon they were needed.
It will be most gratifying to me, as honorary president of the Boy Scouts of America, to have the Boy Scouts lend their aid to the Secretary of the Treasury in distributing applications and securing popular subscriptions to the Liberty Loan. This will give every scout a wonderful opportunity to do his share for his country under the slogan, "Every Scout to Save a Soldier."
Good morning.
Would you like to buy a Liberty Bond?
Oh, but I have five already.
Then why not make it an even number, ma'am?
Oh. I'm sure you'd want another one.
Well, it's a good idea. I'm glad the Scouts are doing their bit.
Don't you Scouts ever give up? I've said no 6 times today.
Well, sir, when you say it 66 times, I'll begin to get discouraged.
Well, I haven't the patience to say it. Give me 3 $5 ones.
From the Atlantic to the Pacific, no hamlet was too small, no city too large for the scouts to carry on their splendid work. In most places, they were sent out as gleaners after the regular campaign had ended. And yet, by the end of the fifth lone campaign, they had secured subscriptions representing over $300 million. But their service to the nation included also the taking of the black walnut tree fences, showing the amount of timber available for construction purposes, aiding the Red Cross, acting as dispatch bearers and conductors on farms. The nation was grateful, and speaking through President Wilson said,
"The Boy Scouts have not only demonstrated their worth to the nation, but have materially contributed to a deeper appreciation by the American people of the higher conception of patriotism and good citizenship. Every nation depends for its future upon the proper training and development of its youth. The Boy Scouts movement is doing splendid work. It should be preserved and strengthened."
After the war, scouts resumed their busy peacetime activities. The original good turn that astonished William Boyce in London grew to be part of the daily routine of millions of men and boys all over the world. And just as the scouts stood by in time of war, so during peacetime emergency.
Calling Sea Scout Ship Coiley. Calling Scout Ship Coiley.
That's us.
Calling Scout Ship Coiley. A group of people are marooned on high ground near the river at North Webster. Proceed at once to round up boats to rescue them. Calling Scout Ship Coiley.
Okay, let's go.
Here they are.
We'll have them down in no time. Turn her around to the south side. We'll get the boats in for them.
Hang on up there. We've got boats for all of you.
Okay. Those are in.
Gee, we're just in time. The water's rising fast.
Calling Sea Scout Ship Coiley. Warn all people to stay clear of the dam at North Webster. The floodwaters have weakened the understructure, and it may collapse at any minute. This is station WTAG Worcester. WTAC Worcester.
Hey, what's up, Sonny? Why are you stopping me?
Sorry, sir. This road's closed. The bridge may give way at any moment. They're blasting the embankment at the end to change the course of the water. The road to the left is still passable.
Well, thanks very much. You scouts are certainly on your toes.
much more have we got, Joe?
8 more deliveries of milk. 5 newspapers.
Here's one of them. Stop the door,
Kate.
And Mrs. Granger! Now, Mrs. Granger!
What is it?
We have a quart of milk for you. Will you take it from us as we pass under your window?
Oh, yes, indeed.
Okay, here it is. Catch hold.
I've got it. Thank you very much, boys. You're doing great work.
Nothing to it. We'll see you tomorrow.
Well, I hope your boat has a horse in front of it tomorrow.
So do we. Come on, Joe. We've got to get another load after this.
Working side by side with the Red Cross and flood relief officials, eager and tireless, the Boy Scouts again showed their worth. And in their scout ships, the Sea Scouts disproved the theory that the best traditions of the sea were dead. With flawless discipline, they showed the nation that there were at hand thousands of men and boys brought up to love the sea, a potential nucleus for the American Merchant Marine Service. Scouting today is established in 49 countries. Frequently, each country celebrates its own jamboree. One day in June last year, in Washington, D.C. To the sound of cannon and stirring music, the stars and stripes fluttered in putty sections of a giant camp. The first national jamboree of the Boy Scouts of America was on, attended by visiting Boy Scouts from other countries. That night, around the great campfire in the shadow of the Washington Monument.
Boy, oh boy, look at those Zulu guys.
They're not Zulus, they're Indians.
Cut it out. I'm from Arizona. You think I don't know an Indian when I see one?
I don't mean a red Indian with feathers.
Feathers? Who's talking about feathers?
I'm trying to tell you that those chaps live in India. They're natives of India, just like I'm a native of England.
Oh, I get it. They're Indians. Well, who are those guys with the bath towels around their heads?
They're turbans.
Never heard of the country.
It's not a country. It's the name of the bath towel around their heads.
Well, that's what I said.
You said they were bath towels, but they're called turbans. They're from India, too.
You don't say. Hey, which country do you come from?
You know quite well
that Bonsoir, monsieur.
That's French. Bonsoir, monsieur.
Gee, Percy, you speak French like a house afire. Hey, look at that whip he's got. Could you tell him I'll trade him 2 knives for it?
I don't think I know anymore.
Oh, that's a fine way to treat a fella. Why, now, I'll call Mr. Collins. He may know French. Mr. Collins? Mr. Collins?
Hello, Jimmy. What's the trouble?
Say, Mr. Collins, you think you can get this Frenchie to trade me his whip for these 2 knives? My French isn't so hot.
Well, I'm not so sure that mine is, but I'll try. Oh, Jean.
Oui, monsieur?
That means yes.
Does, eh?
Jean, ne voulez-vous pardonner ceci à Jimmy pour 2 couteaux?
Non, monsieur. Pour 2 couteaux et une chemise américaine.
What's that chemise américaine?
That's an American shirt. He wants the knives and the shirt.
Okay, it's a deal.
Oui? Ah, c'est bon. Merci, merci. Jimmy, okay.
Okay? Is that French, too?
I suppose it is now.
Oh, I say, Jimmy, that's a capital whip.
What kind?
It's swell. Let's see you crack it.
Okay. Stand clear, Mr. Collins. C'est très bon. How do you like it, Percy?
Très bon. And how?
What did Jean call this whip, Mr. Collins?
Ceci, un ceci.
Ceci. And chemise américaine. See, I'd like to learn French.
Why don't you go along with Jean? I'm sure he'd be glad to help you.
Say, that's an idea. How about you, Percy?
I'll come, too. I want to learn some American from you.
Attaboy.
Attaboy, that's ripping.
You know, I'd like you to teach me English, Percy. But I guess French is going to be easier.
Every 4 years, national groups meet for a world jamboree. Last year, at Vogelenzang, Holland, scouts from all over the world again assembled. This time for the 5th World Jamboree. And after cheers and cries of BP, BP, the founder of scouting and the chief scout of the world, Lord Baden-Powell, is addressing the thousands of scouts and visitors before him.
By cultivating the friendships you have made at this jamboree, You are preparing the way for the solution of international problems by discussions of a peaceful character. This will have a vital and far-reaching effect throughout the world in the cause of peace. And so I pledge all of you here in this great assembly of youth to do your absolute utmost to establish friendship among scouts of all nations.
The cause of scouting has been well served by many people, but few will not give special mention to Daniel Carter Beard, the idol of every troop and a guiding force in the early days of scouting in America. He once said,
"It is the sheer gallantry of spirit that has enabled the scout often to complete tasks beyond the capacity of grown men. It seems to me that the inspiration of the boy scout springs from the oath which requires him to be perpetually helpful.
On my honor, I will do my best to do my duty to God and my country, and to obey the scout law. To help other people at all times. To keep myself physically strong, mentally awake, and morally straight."
Proud of the Scout movement. No better words could be found to express this pride than those of Sir Philip Gibbs, uttered after seeing a world jamboree.
"They march together, all races and all colors, linked not by any discipline imposed by older men, but by the code of youth itself, tolerant to all differences of creed and all differences of race. Here was a sign of something that might happen among nations, uniting in a spirit of comradeship, chivalry to the weak, and loyalty to the leadership of strength and truth."
Tonight, the Columbia Workshop has experimented with the presentation of the underlying movements and accomplishments of the Boy Scout movement. The devices employed, particularly that of montage, the blending of speech and sound patterns, were meant to convey in a series of impressions an understanding of the spiritual values of the movement. We would be glad to know what you thought of the program and to what extent you feel it achieved its purpose. Please address your comments, criticisms, and suggestions to the Columbia Workshop, care of the Columbia Network, New York City. Be Prepared was written by two of Columbia's apprentices in radio production, Guy Della Chopper and Richard Linkrum. The orchestra was conducted by Bernard Herrmann. The entire production was under the supervision of George Zachary, guest director for the workshop. Next week at this same time, the Columbia Workshop will present The Well of the Saint, an Irish folk fantasy by John Millington Synge, especially adapted for the workshop by George Zachary. Your announcer, Bert Parks. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.